This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to this week's podcast. It's on a Wednesday. It's weird. We're going to act like... I'm actually taking the next 2 days completely off, so it is Friday.
Slacker.
It's going to be great. Yeah, says the guy who just got back from Mexico.
You look like a freshly shorn scrotum, by the way. I forgot to tell you that.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Every year you do this, man. I'm used to it now. You got scorned?
What did you say? A fresh...
Shorn.
Oh.
Shorn. Freshly shorn
scrotum.
I know you don't watch any movies, but that's an Austin Powers reference right there for those that don't know. But yeah, you did it for a good cause. So
I try.
Your hair must grow incredibly fast, too. I've always said this. You change hairstyles for a dude often.
It grows very fast. Like if I shave it on Saturday, in 2 weeks, I'll have a nice head of hair.
Yeah. How was the event, by the way?
Good.
Good?
Raised almost $90,000. We'll take it.
That's hard to believe in a town like someone's here. So, dropping off? Cool. This is how we roll on the podcast. Katie Kendall ran to do some errands. Normally she'd be at the door and she's gone. So, 90,000, Bonnerant's a small town. Let's face facts. That's a crap load of money for something like that.
It's almost, since we've been doing it, we're almost to a million now.
And it all goes to St. Baldrick's?
That is correct.
And I went once. It's not just a charitable event. I think people get drunk at that.
They get,
do they not?
Very drunk at it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. I didn't know. Are we gonna recap Mexico?
Adam's here too, by the way.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Katie's back. Yep. Someone just dropped something off. Okay, thanks. We're so professional.
We can recap Mexico.
That's the last thing that we left our podcast listeners with was you guys getting ready to take off.
We obviously made it back.
Barely.
Which was good. How would you recap Mexico, Gray? It was an interesting trip because my buddies that were technically there, and I got to meet a lot of people, and everyone was great. We do have to tell a little bit of the story of the couple that went on the trip, or I will. I'll get in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was fantastic.
Some people say fantastic. Some say awkward.
Stay tuned because we got a good story coming. But it was myself and my wife, okay? And then it's like my wife brought her three brothers, John Liebel, Adam Gray, and Jeff Klein. And none of them had their significant others with them. So it was an interesting dynamic.
Yes.
Because it was never like, hey, the guys are going out. It was always the guys and my plus one. But, you know, Kate goes along.
She can hang.
Yeah, she can hang. Maybe not from a drinking perspective, but she can talk sports and anything else. So, I don't know. What were your takeaways from Mexico?
Oh, man.
Do we have any – I don't really care about, like, your guys' fodder. I want to know, like, if anybody made an ass of themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that. So, like, when I went to Mexico, we were, like, pooping in each other's trash cans and hiding them underneath beds and stuff like that. Like, did any of that stuff go on?
That's disgusting.
That's the point.
You should be ashamed.
No, okay. So nobody pooped anybody's trash can, but what did happen related to poop is, and if anyone out there knows Jeff Klein, this won't surprise you. Good friend of Adam and I's. He works in the.
I thought we were using code names.
No, not for this story. So him and another guy got the idea. We're in the pool all day one day, just hanging out. In fact, you might have been napping, I think. Were you there?
I was golfing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Gray went golfing by himself. He can talk about that.
You went golfing by yourself?
Yeah. What's not only that, but paid a lot of money. So
how much?
Don't worry about it. You going to pay for it?
Yeah. The guys decided that it would be fun. There were a group of girls that looked really young. They said they were 18. They were there with their mothers, okay? They looked like they were 15, 16, but maybe it's because I'm approaching 40.
This so seems like we're getting into illegal territory.
No. So,
remember, everyone, I was gone golfing, okay?
By yourself.
They get the idea of doing the old Caddyshack pool prank where they get a chocolate bar and then float it towards the girls and freak out like it's a turd. So we did that. And then he, of course, goes in and grabs it and takes a bite out of it. And
I believe if I wasn't there,
yeah.
Didn't they put it in his ass crack first?
Yeah.
So it was sticking out the top of his ass crack, and didn't Jackie go grab it out of his ass crack and take a bite of it?
I think so. There was some shenanigans happening.
You know.
So that happened. One takeaway from the trip is that at those all-inclusives, they make very, very light drinks. Not a lot of alcohol.
Oh, they don't want everybody just vomiting.
Well, not only that, but like you guys know, like I'm infamous, right? For I'll drink, but I'm not like a heavy drinker. I felt like I drank all day, every day, and never felt drunk.
Well, that's kind of the best way to do it, though, because your body gets like used to the alcohol, and that, I mean, that's the.
I mean, weren't you kind of drinking all the time?
That's like the science of a hangover, I believe.
I was never hungover. You got drunk Monday night.
National championship. Yeah, but that's because we went to a restaurant and had huge margaritas, and they would come over and pour extra shots of tequila in them. That was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
You know you're having a good time. Obviously, Gray's a huge sports fan. I'm a huge sports fan. There's no question about it. But we were just in a – like, that was one of those nights everyone's in a good mood. It's Monday night. It's national champion. We're like, okay, let's go down to this bar to where you can place bets and watch the game.
Like actual bets?
Yeah.
What, real, there's like a bookie
real,
there?
Real bets. It's a guy behind a counter. Yeah. It's like Vegas, but not even close. It's just it's legit, but not.
It doesn't sound legit.
They try to screw you big time on payouts.
Oh, they did. He shorted me like $60. And like you're in Mexico, what are you gonna do? Like I want to talk to the manager. I mean, you're just like, all right.
Wait, so how do they short you? Like they.
Like I won a bet that was, you know, I'd bet $200 or something and should have won, you know, close to $200. And yeah, and he gave me like $140. And they'll use like the exchange between pesos and dollars to screw you up and stuff.
They know math really well until it's time to pay out. And they're like, I don't have
enough to pay you in cash. Can I pay you in pesos? Fine. And then they short you on pesos. And anyway, I wasn't going there with the intent of winning and paying for my trip off this thing. It was just more enjoyment.
How much did you bet with the Mexican bookie?
Like $200 max, I think. I had a $100 bet and a $200 bet. But anyway, that night, we went to dinner shortly before that, and we didn't even leave dinner until halftime. We missed the entire first half of the national championship game, and nobody really cared.
No.
Because we were drinking and talking and having a good time, and that's the first time maybe ever that I've missed an entire half of a national championship game. But it was just a good vibe.
It wasn't a great game. You didn't miss much.
Same here. And not only did we not watch it, we couldn't even find out the scores because we didn't have – our data was
turned
off. Phones
weren't working.
We had no idea what the score was until we showed up at the Tequila Barrel. That's where we went to watch the
game. I'm happy to report that I did not do cocaine but had plenty of chances to do it.
They offer it
like literally –
Who was offering you cocaine?
You leave and the guy's like, taxi? I'm like, no. And then he'll say, coke? And he's like, I got it in a baggie in his hand, like right in front of you. It's that prevalent.
Interesting.
I go to the bathroom. The guy hands me a towel to help me wash my hands. I appreciate it. You like to party? Hell yeah, man. I like to party. You want some coke? I don't like to party like that, man. But
the correct answer is I just did a bump. Sorry, man. You just missed out.
Yeah, I don't speak that language.
So that was an interesting.
Where were you guys at?
Playa del Carmen. We're at the Rio Resort. It was nice. It was a good setup.
Rio.
Did you tell we'll use code name here. We'll say Ross for this gentleman.
Yeah.
Should we tell the prescription drugs?
Yeah, because the stories you guys have told right now are really lame. We need some good ones.
Jeez, oh, man. Okay, we're still getting this.
Okay, we need like the highlights of the trip here.
So we were on.
So you didn't get to see the whole national title game, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want me to skip right to the part where we saw some boobs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry not all of us could take dumps and put it underneath each other's beds.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Uh-huh.
That would have been a great story.
So do you think
people would have loved it.
Do you think it's normal, natural, offensive, whatever? Let's assume there's children around, which there are, when women sunbathe topless and they're laying on their backs.
So now this is a topic.
So the boobs are out.
And you're at Playa del Carmen.
And we saw plenty of them. Yeah. I mean, they weren't up at our pool. They were like on the beach, but there was
a beautiful beach.
Yeah.
I think that it's fine. I mean, it's more accepted down there.
But it's not Europe. I mean,
but a ton of Europe.
These were Europeans.
That's
doing
the thing. Like, Europeans go to the Cancun area all the time. It's like their number one vacation spot.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I know that is I got into the last time I was down there, and we were in Playa as well, not the same resort.
Yeah.
This was the same area. And I was talking to some guy at the resort, and he's like, yeah, like, French and English people are like our number one stayers down there.
And Argentinians. Gray met some newlywed Argentinians.
Were they naked?
No, but they kissed me when they said goodbye.
Oh, that's nice.
And she was a 10.
And
it was good for them. It was the highlight of my trip.
You let another female kiss you?
On the cheek, both cheeks.
Did you tell your wife?
I did. I bragged about it. I was very excited.
Speaking of kissing, and we're going to talk about this on the next podcast. There's a hint that we got another one coming up. Side Sausage Trivia the other night. My wife was at a different table, and Lawrence, our good friend Lawrence from the podcast, goes over to say hello to my wife and leans in to give her a cheek kiss. That's how Lawrence rolls. He's a sweetheart like that.
Yeah.
And as he does that, Kate like awkwardly turns and they mouth kiss.
Oh,
nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting move. I think she liked it.
I don't know if he moved or she moved, but somebody moved and turned it into a mouth kiss.
She turned it into it.
Probably. She's been wanting that for a while.
Did she open up a little bit?
I don't know.
Slip her a little
She's
tongue?
In love with his eggs Benedict, which sounds dirty, but I literally mean his eggs Benedict. He's a good cook. But anyway, so Williams, you're a fan of the topless. You're good with it.
Well, I mean, here's my deal. Like, if you went to Sailorville and that was going on, it'd be like, okay, listen. But, like, down there, it's an adult vacationing spot for the most part. All-inclusives, for the most part, are adults. Yeah. Now, I know that there's a lot of them are required. It's only adults.
There were children.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. But, like, my thing is, like, that if it was, like, a female, I guess, from Des Moines, it would be a little weird.
Yeah.
But that's what these people know. That's what they do, and they're on vacation. Yeah. So, I mean, why should they be required to live any differently?
I know. Yeah.
They probably think it's weird when Americans go down there and do beer bongs.
I think it's what's most interesting about that is the cultural differences. That's what's cool about it. Because an American woman, for the most part, is going to be like, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. And they don't care.
You don't take your top off in America in public.
They don't care. They're like, they're just my boobies.
And the dudes wear the Speedos. The banana hammock.
I didn't see a lot of those, but yeah.
Oh, man, when I was down there, I saw them all over the place. You always saw a really tan dude with the beer gut wearing the banana hammock.
And they don't care at all.
Just let it hang.
So one of the guys on our trip who we're calling Ross.
Yeah, we'll call him Ross.
Ross. This is another cultural difference. So my father-in-law and brothers and all of them are urologists, so they're very knowledgeable in things like Viagra and prescribe a lot of it. And in America, you got to go through a lot of hassle, right? You got to call the doctor, you got to make the appointment, you got to wait, you got to go, you got to talk to the doctor, they write a prescription, you got to go to the pharmacy, you got to wait, you got to do all that crap, right? Just to get Viagra, okay? We go into basically 7-Eleven. It's a tourist store with, you know, tchotchkes and whatever, and in the back is all of those drugs you could want up on the wall. So Ross goes in and says,
"What?"
You know, well,
Ross, yeah. Ross's coworker
correct.
Says, "Hey, Ross, if I buy you Viagra, will you take it right here, right now?"
I have another good Mexico story you just reminded me of. Yeah. Go ahead.
So
Ross is not one to back away.
Yeah, he doesn't back away from a challenge, so he says, sure. So he takes it, and we then walk through the streets, walk to the tequila barrel, where—
Was he erect?
He says he wasn't at the time, but I'm going around to girls and being like, will you go whisper inappropriate things in his ear right now?
That's good. See, this is a story I'm talking about.
To kind of get him riled up a little bit, to get him going. So rumor is that Ross couldn't take it anymore, and he had to go back into a bathroom stall and take care of business.
No, I think the correct term was he
Are
had
you serious.
He had
you
to,
serious, Clark?
He had to go get rid of the demon seed. that's what he said.
So if you want a good story, that was a
so we did this when we were in Mexico when we were on spring break.
By the way, don't mix alcohol and Viagra. That's not a good idea in general.
Well, that's what we did to a buddy of ours. We slipped the Viagra into his beer.
Yeah,
and he didn't know it.
Great friends.
And then, so we were at one of
turds
those.
Turds in trash cans, slipping Viagra into drinks. What the heck, man?
We're in one of those, you know, the like a legit like dance club where there's like the bowl in the middle. And me and my buddy, we were watching him the whole – like, so I'm not, like, a dance club type guy. It's just not me.
Yeah.
So we, like, got a table.
Yeah.
We had, like, bottle service and all that stuff going on. And we're just sitting up, like, on this perch looking down at the dance floor. My buddy, who had taken the Viagra unknowingly, he was the one – he was down there, like, dancing with some chicks. And, like, the whole night, like, he's sitting there, like, dancing. He's, like, looking down to rearrange his pants. And, like, he couldn't figure out why he had a boner the whole night.
You got to do the fold-up. That's what they are. I was talking to my father-in-law about the origin of Viagra because it was a heart medication, and they were testing it out, and it was supposed to be for the heart. And then they were doing focus group study groups of this, and the guys were coming in saying, okay, what's your experience on the pill or something? And they're saying, well, I can't explain it, but when this one nurse walks by, I keep getting a boner. Like, and that's how they basically were discovering it. They kept talking to these guys that were taking it. And all of them were getting boners, like, over the same people. Like, what is going on? They had no idea that was going to happen because it was a complete accident to discover Viagra for what it is.
I read a piece, and I don't even remember, like, when it was or what it – I wish I had it. I could read it to you guys. But there was, like, a college football team somewhere. It was, like, a D3 team or something, or D2. And there's, like, a serious, like, epidemic in the program because all the dudes were, like, trying to, like, get Viagra. Like, they were obsessed with it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think most college-age guys need it, frankly. I hope they wouldn't.
I mean.
So let me tell you about.
Just don't shoot the messenger.
Okay. Let me tell you. So a couple other things from the trip.
Okay.
That jump out. I wasn't sure if I should talk about Snuffleupagus or not, but that was kind of.
What's that?
No, we don't need to talk about Snuffleupagus.
Let me put it this way. Would you be offended in any way, Williams, if people made fun of your manhood, but they made fun of it because it was extremely large? Or would you be okay with that joke?
That's been happening to me for 20 years.
Because one guy on the trip was accused of that exact thing, and yet he apparently had never heard of the term manscaping. So he became referred to as Snuffleupagus.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, you know Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street.
Sesame Street, yeah.
Think of his trunk.
He's got a big trunk. He's got a massive trunk.
Big hairy trunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Really big.
And he was a, you know, the guy that we were talking about, he took it very, very well, as I would.
So everybody, like, on this work trip was just making – this has, like, a sexual harassment suit written all over it.
You can't sexually harass someone if they enjoy it, though. It's not technically sexual harassment.
He was part of the group that put the trip on.
He wasn't allowed to get mad.
I think you can sexually harass somebody if they quote-unquote enjoy it. Because you never really know if they actually enjoy it or if they're just acting like they enjoy it.
Yeah, but I think he was totally, totally fine with it. But anyway,
it's kind of a double standard, too, because when you think sexual harassment, you think of a female.
Well, harassed to mean don't enjoy, stop, et cetera. I think he's fine. So one of the highlights of the trip for me is this occurred at that same place, Greg was talking about, the whiskey barrel. Is that what it was?
Tequila barrel.
Tequila barrel. My
We're
bad.
In Mexico.
Maybe tequila barrel. So
you want some tequila?
What did you do?
What are you doing?
We're good.
Sorry. Okay.
The cord accidentally.
That sounded kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we were, my wife and I are sitting at the tequila barrel, and there's a couple on this trip, and they don't listen to this, so we're good. And no names. But there's a couple on this trip, and let's just say they're married and they were having.
The only names we've heard are Snuffleupagus and Ross.
Yep. And I think we're clear on both of those. So this, and to be honest with you, well, I vaguely remember their names, but anyway. Let's just say they're having marital issues.
Well, no, that's sad.
So wife is hammered, big time. Good husband, I don't think was, but maybe he was.
He was hammered.
My wife, we're in the back room of this restaurant, the Tequila Barrel. My wife and I are sitting there, and she's sitting right next to me, and I barely know her. And she is crying and saying things like, I'll try to use her exact way she said it. My husband's a bad dude. And then she would say, he's cheating on me, and I don't know what to do with it, and all this stuff. And she's looking at Kate. She's a total mess. Like, I'm thinking to myself, as she's selling this, she's going to puke on me.
I need a beer.
Yeah. I'm watching this. There's beer right there.
There's an old style right there.
Yeah. So I'm watching this, and here's the ironic thing about it. Kate and I are like, okay, what do we say to her, et cetera? Her husband, while she's telling me this, is like 4 feet away. sitting in a chair with an earshot.
So he wants to kick your ass.
No, he says nothing, does nothing. Kind of like, oh, this is a typical Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
She does this all the time. And then she goes over to a couple other girls that weren't in our party, but were like, we were kind of talking to them too. And she's telling them all about it. And then she starts talking about machetes. And how she's going to kill someone with a machete because she knows who the girl is.
That's kind of freaky.
And then she's asking these girls, have you done anything with my husband? Like, she's just met these people.
That just got weird.
They don't know anybody. And I'm sitting there with a huge grin on my face because I love it. Like, it's watching the train wreck from a distance.
You love watching marriages fall apart.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun.
This happened a couple other times throughout the trip. Anytime that they got drunk, this surfaced. Again, it was very awkward. Very awkward.
Yeah, so it happened. Then there was a night in between, and then it happened again. We're like, holy crap!
Next time one of these trips. How often do these trips go down?
Every year.
How do I get in on this? I'm in the marketing world.
We could make something work.
I'm sure we know some people that could get you on the trip.
So one of the girls
sounds amazing.
It was pretty.
Now, how would it work though if I brought my spring break shenanigans to the trip?
It'd be fine.
Yeah, you would not be as crazy as a couple of the people on the trip.
So if I pooped in somebody's trash can and hit it under their bed.
I'd beat the hell out of you if you did that.
No, but I'm just saying.
How do you?
I didn't do that. Tony Becker did that.
Do you put it in a bag and put it under their bed? You're not putting a trash can under someone's bed.
It was our first night there, and Tony Becker, Tony B, I got a lot of great Tony B college stories, by the way.
Yeah, apparently.
He was bombed out of his mind. So, our flights, we had two groups of guys. All from Iowa State, but two groups. So there's some guys from Iowa, mutual friends, though. We all knew each other. And the first group got there a couple hours before the second, and they were obviously really drunk. I'll never forget walking into this resort and all those guys, jumping out of the pool and, screaming mm-hmm. like girls. They were just bombed. And so that night we're getting ready to go to the club, and our rooms are all pretty close to each other, and Tony comes walking out of another room.
Okay.
And he's just crying with laughter.
Okay.
What's so funny, man? What's so funny? And he I'll never forget it. He goes, I just diarrhea'd in their trash can.
That's awful.
And he hid it under their bed. So 2 days later, they're still just they can't figure out what smells. And
how can they not figure that out? That's awful.
Did you take a shower, man?
The diarrhea had just festered. The smell had.
That is gross.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Would you ever do that? Would you take diarrhea in a trash can?
We have another great story. Jason Cooper in charge of this one.
Yeah.
So Sean had passed out. So Sean was, he was just belligerent one afternoon. We had been drinking with Alfredo, the maintenance man, and his friends out on the corner.
Alfredo.
We were drinking Modelo. And
ours was Ricky Bobby.
Sean got out of hand, so we had to take him back. And there was one guy. It's funny you mentioned about the topless women because there were kids there. And Sean's language was X-rated.
Salty.
Yeah. And this guy, Sean was standing on the balcony screaming into the pool at some of our friends, and he was just dropping F-bombs at him, whatever. And this guy's like, hey, I got kids. And my buddy Sean proceeded to want to fight this guy.
Yeah.
But he's up on the balcony. He's calling him old balls. And you old balls. Whatever. We made him pass out. And then Cooper grabs a Mexican frog and put it in his pants while he's passed out. And that went on for about an hour.
These are just good humored
shenanigans. God knows what happened to... when that frog was in there, because we left for a while and we came back, got the frog.
Made himself a nest and took a nap. Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, I can't wait till Mexico next year. It'll be fun.
We didn't have a maintenance man. We had Ricky Bobby.
His name was actually Ricky.
It was Ricardo.
Ricardo. Robert.
Richard Robert or whatever?
Ricardo Bobby.
He was like the activities director. So he'd have everybody, he'd be on a microphone around the pool. It's like, I'm Ricky Bobby, and he was totally gay and happy with it.
Good for him.
And he would, so you'd have come up and try to kick a goal or something into the pool, and he'd say, "Where are you from?" and whatever. And then if he liked one of the guys, so he commented on me, and he commented on a bunch of other guys. He's like, "You can find me later. My room number is 69." He was not shy about liking dudes. That is for sure. But he was fun. He had one of those voices that would just stick in your head for sure.
He probably loved Snuffleupagus.
Oh, would have loved him for sure. There's no question about it.
Did you guys do any like excursions or anything?
Not really, but the coolest...
You did something in a cave. I saw your wife post that.
We had dinner in a real cave.
It was cool. That was really cool.
Were there any like religious seances or anything going on in this cave?
I'm sure there could have been.
No, but they didn't make you like do any of their weird prayers or anything?
They didn't let us go in the back part because they said it was haunted. It was a haunted cave.
For real?
No, not for real.
But this was cool. I mean, this was a real cave they somehow managed to make into a restaurant. And... yeah, I don't know what else to say. It was a real cave. I'd never had dinner in a place like that before.
Did you pee in their water? In the Incas' water?
No, I don't think it was the Incas.
Or the Mayas. Mayas are down there.
Well, I saw none of those people, so I don't know. I don't know. Gray met an interesting character on the golf course, some creature. Yeah. What was that called?
What? So tell me about this singles golf outing.
Tell me how much you overspent on this thing.
Well, so Charter and his wife went and did, two full-body massages during the 10-minute?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. They were fantastic.
Happy ending. Just like he gets two doors down.
I got that back in the room, but anyway.
Boom.
Boom.
Katie, so, bringing the heat.
Boom. Vacation sex.
You know, everyone else was doing, like, massages and facials and, you know, pedicures, whatever. And that's not me. I wanted to golf. I asked everyone if they wanted to golf, but no one wanted to. So I've had enough time in the sun, and there's a golf course right across from the resort. So I walked over there, and I rented some clubs, and I decided to play. Well, you think when you rent clubs, and I've rented clubs plenty of times, and I don't know why because it sucks. It's never the same.
Fun because it takes you 10 holes to even get used to it.
Figure out, yeah.
Yep.
But I still do because I just wanted to play some golf. So they didn't give me a sleeve of balls. Not like usually they give you at least one sleeve of balls with the club rentals. So I kind of threw like a mini fit, you know, hey, where are my balls? You got to go buy some.
A polite gray fit.
Yeah. And then.
Where are my balls?
Where are my balls? And they said, you got to purchase them. So I go to purchase them. Guess how much the cheapest sleeve of golf balls was?
$20.
No, that sounds outrageous. $17.
And were they good?
They were like they weren't the nice Bridgestones. They were like the cheapest Bridgestones.
Bridgestone's good though.
Yeah. Okay. So, but $17 for three golf balls. $17.
I'm still not convinced golf balls matter. Like I'll hit Top Flights the same way I hit
the new
Titleist.
Gray would know this. The new TaylorMades. Is it the new TaylorMades? They're supposed to be 5 to 10 yards on your drive.
No idea.
That's what a lot of people are saying about these. I'm gonna buy some. We'll find out. But apparently that.
I'm thinking about hanging up my clubs.
Permanently?
No, just until.
You say this every year.
Yeah, and I only played I played on my birthday with you last year, and then
that's a tradition unlike any other.
And then two golf outings I played with you in Poland.
Yep.
And
we won it, by the way.
Actually, I think those are the only two times.
As long as you find a way to exercise and get out there in the sun, man.
Well, I exercise plenty.
Back to my story.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Talk about the creature.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. So I buy a sleeve, and I'm like, I don't normally lose three golf balls in a round, but this course was hard. First tee shot of the day, OB, lose a ball. Second hole, OB, lose a ball. So I wave in the cart girl, and I say, hey, I only have one golf ball left. I gave her a $100 bill. I said, will you please go get me two sleeves and bring back the change?
Oh, you know she's not bringing back that change.
I was on hole 7, and I lost another golf ball, and I'm sitting there. I call the clubhouse. I'm like, five holes ago, I gave this chick $100. You know where she's at? Oh, yeah, she'll be right there to you. I waited 25 minutes for her.
She came back?
She never came back. So then I had to drive in.
I can't believe it.
Luckily, there was nobody playing on the course. Yeah. Nobody was playing.
How hot was it?
It was pretty damn hot.
I would guess it'd be really hot. 80,
85.
85, yeah. I mean, it wasn't unbearable, but it was plenty hot.
And hey, Adam, can I give you a tip? Next time you go to Mexico,
take my own golf balls.
Well,
and clubs.
And don't just hand random attendants $100 bills bring me the change.
I got my change back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, no, I found her. Yeah, I found her.
I can't believe you got your change
back. I got my change back, and I was able to make it through the round with.
Barely.
I think I ended up losing 6 balls on the round.
But you met some, what are those creatures called that you saw?
I don't remember. They were like a mix between a monkey and an anteater. They had these long noses, and they were digging down, and they were. Thousands of on this golf course. So I'd be hitting a shot and there'd be 20 around me.
Was there water around the course?
Yeah.
Like the ocean?
No. It wasn't on the ocean. But there's who's behind me? Katie? No, sorry. I just saw a reflection and
You freaked out there.
Freaked out.
Katie.
Thought it was a ghost.
Yeah.
But yeah, the you know me, I don't like animals. I was freaked out by these things, and they would. If I there's a couple times where I could have got my ball, I saw it, but it was in the middle of like a jungle area.
A group of
and
them.
I'm thinking, no freaking way am I going in there.
It'd be funny if they right looked yeah friendly, so, but have like razor sharp teeth when so you got close.
Josh said they did have actually sharp teeth, but he said they're really friendly. You can go up and feed them, and they'll eat right out of your hand.
Oh, really?
But I would never
and
feed
then
those things.
Eat your finger.
They were hideous looking.
Beyond that, I wish I knew what those were called. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know.
So I played golf.
You guys should have. Like I should have told you to take a trip down south a little bit to Tulum. Did you hear about Tulum? It's like the tip of the peninsula that you were on.
Okay.
The southern tip of it. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
What are we doing, Gray?
I was just looking to see how long this podcast is going so far.
Well, it's 28 minutes right now.
Oh, we're about it. We're about to.
All right, to wrap it up, and then we'll do.
Hey, we're doing two this week.
Yeah, we'll do a little more sports tomorrow. We just wanted to get the Mexico recap in.
It's probably disappointed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's been a great podcast. I expected you guys to have like crazier stories.
Well, we do have
what did you want?
Like pooping in trash cans.
Why is that your thing?
Well, because I was expecting more craziness.
Did you hear that we flew into Newark from Cancun?
Yeah, you told me that.
To Des Moines?
It's ridiculous. It's
a 12-hour travel day.
That's horrible.
Freaking Klein.
Why?
Yeah, that makes no sense. And I, if you want to meet some unfriendly people, go to the Newark airport.
I've been
crap, dude.
It's pretty bad.
TSA agents. I mean, just wear a sign that says, I hate my life and my job.
Any of those northeastern airports, I feel like most are like that.
Like, we're waiting a long time to get through immigration, I think, was first.
Customs,
and then
yeah
customs or whatever. And so you get through one long queue of people, and then you go through another one, which was much shorter. But this guy's sitting there. He's got the TSA, you know, uniform on or whatever, grabs our passport, doesn't even look at us, and is like, two, go. That's it. That's the dialogue, dude. I'm like, what's the point of even standing in this line?
Yeah.
Just let us go if you're going to
do that. Well, if you actually watched, if the people that did not look American, he grilled them pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, so there was profiling going
absolutely
on.
Absolutely. 100% yep profiling.
Yep.
100%.
Hasn't been many terrorists that look like me, I guess. So not yet. Not so far. But no, it was a good trip. Gray was a good travel partner, gentle lover. And
you sent me some pretty graphic text messages that first day about you and Gray.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I was not on this.
No, you weren't. It was just me and Mark. No.
He wanted to know if we had consummated the relationship.
I didn't ask that. Mark just voluntarily gave the...
Now your text when we return to him makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
The one that I was on, now I get it.
And you got like offended by?
I just said this did not happen. I wanted.
I love how you had to like go on the record. To make
I wanted
sure
Williams to know that we did not do what Charter
just
claimed
in case you really thought it was true. You know, it's all good.
You know what? It was hard to get good liquor there.
Oh, it's brutal. I
terrible.
I had
most liquor's awful down there.
No, here's another Mexico story for me. I might have told this before, but we have this big fishing trip. Mike Dreyer, friend of the program, and he's not a friend of you guys, but he was my when I lived down in Shenandoah, he was my best friend because he was a farmer down there. And our wives are really close.
I've met him
there
before.
Great guy. And we had this big fishing trip planned for the next day. Well, we went to this like bar or club or whatever. And I was so sick of like tequila and Corona by then. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this Mexican Jack Daniels. Like supposedly it's just like Jack Daniels. And it tasted a lot like Jack Daniels. And I had so much of it. And it made me sicker than hell.
Mm-hmm.
I was out on that boat, and I've never taken a crap like that in my life.
On the boat?
Yeah, like this makes the whole like laxative thing times that.
Isn't taking
400.
A crap on a boat great? You're sitting there while you're like.
Oh, and
rocking.
It's this tiny Mexican fishing boat too,
yeah.
And you're in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
And you're going up and down, and you're sweating profusely, and then the toilet wouldn't flush.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to make matters worse, like so, this guy, like our guide had to go and flush it, and he's thinking, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
What did he? And we didn't have any cash to tip him with.
Yeah, that poor bastard.
Because we paid with a credit card.
I think the way to do that is the poop buddy system on the boat. So you drop your drawers and stick your ass out over the edge of the boat so it's in the ocean, and then a buddy just grabs both your arms and holds you there, and then you just let it go.
I would definitely let you go.
You fall backwards into your own crap that's right below you. Oh, man. Are we about out of time?
Yeah, we're out of time.
Here's a teaser for them to come back Friday.
What's coming back up?
So I think we need to do a little bit of a recap, even though you guys did on your show. And I think everybody listens to your show, but I'm sure there's a few that don't.
Most don't.
But we're going to recap from our perspective, Size House of Trivia, the shenanigans that went on, and talk about Rob Gray's anger. I think that would be a good one.
Rob, what do you mean Rob Gray's anger? Well, because I don't want him to get even more angry.
They got to tune in. Rob's got to tune in. And then we'll also recap my six-year-old son sending an apology video to Lane Daniels.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
They got to tune in for that.
That's coming up tomorrow on Fawcast, the second Fawcast of the week. You'll love it.